Welcome to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We invite you to be a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website trinitychapelvirginia.com. That's trinitychapelvirginia.com. And now join us in the sanctuary of Trinity Chapel for today's broadcast.
The journey to Jerusalem, the disciples' assignment, the borrowed donkey, the arrival of Jesus. This is Palm Sunday. The crowded streets, the cloaks and branches, the singing children, the shouts of praise. This is Palm Sunday. The people's questions, the prophecies fulfilled, the triumphal entry. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. This is Palm Sunday. The way of the donkey. The way of humility. The way of Jesus, the King of Kings. This is Palm Sunday.
Well, good morning. It is Palm Sunday, if you hadn't noticed. Had it in the bulletin, made sure it was on the screen. This is one of those Sundays that, over time, a lot of people have forgotten. We give it, shall we say, lip service. We mention it, with the focus always being toward Easter. But a lot of stuff happened this week, 2,000 years ago. And we're going to talk about some of those events that occurred that week today. Now, I've dimmed the lights today for a reason. I want us to be in this understanding that it was a world in darkness 2,000 years ago when Jesus came into Jerusalem. Actually, for the ministry for the 3 years prior, he was sharing truth in a lost and dying world. We'll talk about those events today as we continue in our service. Trying to think of any announcements that I'm supposed to be making today for Palm Sunday. Let's see. Next Sunday is Easter. Regular service time. We'll have communion next Sunday. I hope to see as many as possible return and be with us. I'm going to tell you today, just keep me in prayer. I've noticed for several days now, I am flat tired. And I don't understand why. Except we've been trying to get a better handle on it. This past 5-6 weeks have been a very intense time. We traveled to South Carolina. Then we had immunotherapy. Then we drove to Florida. Then we came back. And I'm trying to keep up with radio shows, plan for these services. And I think that maybe I need to recognize that I'm not 30 years old anymore. Can't quite do what I did 40 years ago. So kind of keep me in prayer that I get through today. I'm trying to think. There was something on my mind. Was there something that I needed? Yeah, we'll have a coffee hour next week for those that want to be here for that. So, of course, I hate not having a coffee hour. One of the things that the early church did, and I'm trying to make sure I know where I'm at here, so because I've all of a sudden lost my position here. If you remember Palm Sunday, the story, the narrative, I'm just going to briefly go into it in a moment. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. His disciples have been working their way for 3 years getting to Jerusalem for this particular week. His reputation was preceding him. And they welcomed him with open arms by casting their garments into the road, and they also put palms in the pathway. In the scripture, John chapter 12, beginning at the 12th verse, the next day a great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things had been written of him and had been done. For thousands of years on this day, when possible, where possible, parishioners, church members were given palms, especially for the opening hymn of the day. And for at least 700 or 800 years, the hymn that we will open with today, sometimes even in some churches, they processed with these palms. So I'm going to bless these particular palms that I'm going to then hand out to you. Let us pray. We praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was hailed as king by those who spread their garments and branches of palms along the way. I pray to sanctify these branches with your blessing. We humbly pray that they may be for us a sign of his victory. Grant that we, who bear them in his name, may ever hail him as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Allow me to hand out to each one of you today. We have plenty, so you're more than welcome to have more than one. And yes, you may keep them. You don't have to return them. So anybody want to, I'm just going to hand these out today. I think we've got one, two. Oh, there are several stuck together here. Just, whoops.
Keep my mom under control now.
Yep. Here. There you got plenty. And you got a few over here for this aisle. Here. Here you go. I have to wonder if these actually came from Florida. We saw some when we were down there a few weeks ago. And here. Not to be forgotten. One of the fascinating parts of being on our trip a few weeks ago to Florida, you know, when you're gone, is when we were gone a few years, you forget how many palm trees there are down there. And in the Middle East, how many palm trees they have, where it was pretty easy to do. I mean, to make this literally a carpet of palm leaves for the donkey, they just went to the nearest tree and just started ripping them off and putting down their cloaks. And like I say, we'll talk about that today. But there is an old hymn that reminds us of that day. Stand if you can as we sing together.
King of Israel.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, who of thy tender mercy toward mankind sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that all mankind should follow the example of his great humility. Grant that we may both follow the example of his patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be seated for the reading of God's word.
Good morning again. Our first reading is from the Old Testament of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakes my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? So the next reading is in Psalms, chapter 31, verses 9 through 16. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed. I have become a reproach to all my enemies and even to my neighbors, a dismay to those of my acquaintance. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am useless as a broken pot, for I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They have put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. For as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord. I have said, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness, save me. And our final book is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at that time, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. And he went out of the temple. One of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon the other that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when these things will be, and what shall be the signs when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And Jesus answered them and began to say, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must be, for the end is not be with you. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in divers places. There shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils and in the synagogues, and ye shall be beaten. Ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations." The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand together if we can as we sing our sermon hymn. You may be seated.
On the road to the cross, Jesus borrowed a donkey, an animal of peace, to enter Jerusalem, the city of peace. On the road to the cross, the crowds laid down their coats and palm branches in the streets to honor their king. On the road to the cross, Jesus wept for the city he came to save, for many of them would not receive him. On the road to the cross, the disciples were given a new and final command to love each other just as Jesus had loved them. On the road to the cross, Jesus became like a servant and washed the feet of those who would later betray, deny, and abandon him. On the road to the cross, Jesus was taken into custody, falsely accused, wrongly sentenced, and unjustly condemned. On the road to the cross, Jesus would not only carry his own cross, but also carry the sin and shame of all humanity for all of history. The road to the cross for Jesus was the road to death. But for us, the road to the cross is the road to life.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather at this time around your word, I pray, as I always do, to open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive that which you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. The road to the cross is the name of the message. I found that little video actually after I had thought about what I wanted to do this Sunday, and I thought, what a fitting way to open up the message with that short little video to remind us of what this week was all about in a very capsulated form. Now, in many traditional churches over the centuries, on this Sunday, a lot of churches read what is called the Passion Gospel. The entire, from betrayal, through the trial, through the crucifixion, and all that went with it. And in some churches, you'll have four or five people being the readers playing the various parts, with the congregation yelling, "Crucify him," when you see that in the scripture. When Pilate says, "Who would you want, Barabbas or Jesus?" And they all yell, "Barabbas." Today I decided to do something just a little bit different. This church tends sometimes to be a little bit different in our approach. I want people to have the fullness and the understanding of the message that is contained in God's word. I want to make, how do I put it? I want to make God's word real to you in such a way that you understand it and your eyes are open, as I've said before. Your ears are hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say, and it changes and transforms your life. I know as a child, I'm going to borrow your palm right there. I can remember as a child what it was like on Palm Sunday, being able to wave these in the church. I was like young like these back here when I had my first palms. And then we even learned how to make crosses. I can't do this. Only a crafter could do this correctly. You know, tie them up and make a little cross out of them. In some churches, they save these till the next year and they burn them for Ash Wednesday. That's where you get the ashes from. That's what the tradition was anyway. Palm Sunday. What has always stood out to me about this day, and we're going to kind of walk a little bit through this week and stop and pause on a few things we don't normally spend a lot of time on, but I think if we do, it's going to make more sense to you what occurred that week. Jesus has been working his way with his disciples toward Jerusalem, And there was a reason he wanted to be there by a certain date. We're going to get into that in just a moment. Rather important. It wasn't just any week that Jesus arrived. It wasn't just any first day of the week or a Sunday, as we call it today, that Jesus showed up with his disciples. And Jesus chooses to ride into Jerusalem on a lowly little donkey. And even that account is rather fascinating. Tells his disciples, go into the town up against you, up away, just down the road, as we'd say in this part, go down the road a piece, you're going to see a donkey. And go get it. And if anybody asks, just say the master has need of it and there'll be no problem. And that's exactly what happened. So they bring some stranger's donkey in and Jesus gets on it and he rides into Jerusalem, a gated city. And they see him approaching, and like royalty, and that's what they did for royalty, they would strip down palms and lay down clothing for royalty. They didn't do that for the Fuller Brush Man. They didn't do it for the Good Humor Truck or anything like that. They did it for only royalty, people of importance. And Jesus to them, with his reputation, had become important, noteworthy, a celebrity. This would be like having a celebrity arrive and you want to make a big deal about it. And they did. Now, you'll notice in the gospel reading that I chose to use, I wanted to drop back literally a little bit before some of the major events occurred. One of these little events that we don't talk about much that also occurred during this week. Jesus arrives, and then he's going to the temple where he's speaking, preaching, sharing. You know, it was during this Holy Week, we forget about this. If you've heard about when Jesus went into the temple to throw out the money changers, that was the same week. He did it that week. He did a lot of things that week that we know of and we talk about, we preach about, we share the stories. All these were compressed in this one week, and actually in fewer days than you would begin to even understand. A lot happened. And the question I had as a child, and many of you may have had growing, if you grew up in the faith, man, how could they turn on him so quickly in just a matter of days? What did he do? He didn't do what the people wanted him to do. That's what he did. He wasn't their mystical genie giving them their every wish. He wasn't there to throw out the occupying Roman soldiers and the prelates and all those that ran that part of the region that the Romans called Palestine. They refused to call it Israel or Judea. No, it was their conquested territory. And so they're seeing Jesus comes and he's insulting the way we do things in the temple. He's making a mockery of the things that we believe. And he's not here to free us from the Romans and restore our ancient glory. How quickly they turned. Jesus in the temple. Jesus getting the powers that be quietly and rapidly more and more angry with him. We got to get rid of this guy. This guy's going to get rid of our authority. And the account that is given in the scripture, like I say, this, I'm going to share this. And this is, I'm not dogmatic about that, about this, if you know what I mean by dogmatic. When I was studying for the ministry, there are a lot of theologians that try to get a better understanding and handle on what really happened in this span of time. And they try to put it in light of scripture. And sometimes our traditions that we somehow developed can get into the way of really maybe seeing some of the nuances. Because we're so busy starting on Palm Sunday and then jumping into Thursday and not realizing what had happened earlier that week. First problem is, in the time of Christ, when did a new day begin? Midnight? Dawn? No, sundown. In other words, and you see this occasionally in the scripture, where they couldn't travel until the sun went down on Saturday night. When the sun went down Friday, you're in, you're done. And you had the daytime on Friday as a day of preparation for the Sabbath. And they kept the Sabbath. It was a law. Of course, Jesus got the Pharisees of the day angry at him when he healed somebody on the Sabbath. Well, you're violating the Sabbath law, forgetting that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. So, as these scholars have kind of reasoned, and like I say, I'm not dogmatic about this, but if you kind of look at it the way it may have occurred, a little differently than the way we think, it actually makes more sense. Jesus arrives on a Sunday morning, daytime. Remember, the Sabbath had ended, and now they're sleeping, they're getting things ready, the donkey, all of that is now occurring. And then he rides into Jerusalem. Now, what a lot of people do not understand, this week in Jerusalem was a big deal. It wasn't just the Passover. There were other feasts and festivals that, only because of a fluke of how the calendar and the moon cycles and everything worked, a bunch of things collided in the same week. It wasn't just the Passover. There was a lot more going on. That's why there were so many people in Jerusalem. They wouldn't have been there otherwise. But this was going to be a big deal. This is a holy week at that time for the Jews. Not just Passover, which often was just celebrated in people's homes. They didn't go to the temple for Passover. That was a home event. But there were other events that week. Notice, it even says in the scripture, there for the festival, there for this, there for that, and the Passover. So people were having to scramble to find a place to conduct the Passover if they came from another town nearby, maybe coming in from Bethlehem, 20, 30 minutes down the road, or whatever the case may be, those that came and stayed, it was a big deal to get prepared. And Jesus is going to the temple. He's getting his disciples to make preparations. And they end up in the upper room. And remember, days begin at sundown. When you get to the Passover, it starts at sundown. Now, Jesus, a little bit later in the dissertation that I read from Mark and other books of Scripture, points out some very important things. The sign of Jonah. Now, you're hearing a lot of people talk about the sign of Jonah. We got an eclipse and all this. But what is the real sign of Jonah according to Scripture? The Son of Man will be in the ground like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. Didn't say 2 days and two nights or 1 day. It's 3 days, three nights. And Jesus reminds his disciples of that. Now, we've gotten kind of caught into the Good Friday idea because we keep hearing that when Jesus was taken off the cross, they had to get him in the ground because the Sabbath is here. But you forget one thing, and in the King James Bible, it was an high Sabbath. By the way, anytime there's a feast and festival in the old, in the Jewish culture, it is a Sabbath. If it is a feast and festival, it is called a high Sabbath. Even if it doesn't occur on a Saturday, it's still a Sabbath. And what scholars are saying, wait a minute. Jesus comes to town when you've got this feast, Passover, the other one, Purim, possibly there's several they think it could have been, just trying to figure out the calendar. And then you got the regular Sabbath. God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. Like I say, I'm not dogmatic to say we must believe this. I'm just saying it makes a little bit of sense. So really, as the sun went down on Tuesday becoming Wednesday, that was the Passover at sundown. Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. He gives us Holy Communion, as we call it, or the Lord's Supper, whatever name you want to give it. And he tells his disciples, I will not drink of this cup again until I drink it in God's kingdom again with you, you know, with you then. This is it. They didn't understand what he meant. Then Jesus knows who his betrayer is. He knows what's about to happen. And he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is still on Passover. I mentioned at Christmas time, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the place where they raised and birthed the lambs for the sacrifice at the temple. That's where Jesus was born. Where the lambs are born for the temple. Jesus becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He then is showing us on that Passover night that I am the Passover. I am the Passover. He is then betrayed, taken before the Jewish authorities, taken before the Roman authorities, and we know how the day plays out. Before the end of Passover, Passover as a celebration is sundown to the next sundown. Before the end of that Passover, Jesus has been sacrificed and shed his blood as the Lamb of God. He is the Passover. And then he's put in the ground because it was an high Sabbath. And boy, it was worse than a regular Sabbath. They really were going to be locking themselves down for that duration. And then when that next period ended, a night and a day, now it's a day of preparation for the regular Sabbath. Can't do anything then. Besides, you got the Roman guards sitting out there at the tomb. Nobody wants to go near that place. I bet you would probably think back then, because of the word that was out on the street, anybody approaches that tomb, just kill them. They didn't care. They're Roman guards. They didn't care. They're really Germans from, you know, the guards that the Romans had. These were not Italian guys. These were mean Germans who followed orders. They were hiring an army of Huns. And they weren't going to put up with nothing. Because, see, their job when Jesus was laid in the tomb was to make sure for the next 3 days and three nights nobody comes near that place. If you fail, you will die. That's the order of the day. That's how it worked in the Roman army. If those soldiers failed, they knew they would be subject to death. They'd be put on a cross themselves. So now we hit the Sabbath is now... The new Sabbath has come, and the sun goes down. Jesus has been in the ground a night and a day, a night and a day, a night. So he's been in there three. And as the sun goes down again, many scholars think that, you know, this is why I'm not big on sunrise services. Jesus was already gone. As the sun went down, and the first day of the week began, Jesus is alive. And while these Huns are sitting outside, well, it's almost 3 days. Tomorrow we get to get out of here. They never came to get the body. We'll just hang in there. No, we'll hang in the night to be sure. Camping out, getting ready to tell a few stories, maybe opening up a little vino or something around the fire, knowing, well, if they're not going to be here now, they're not coming. We'll just make sure they don't steal it tonight. Then we can go back into town and say, nope, the body's still in the tomb. Can you imagine? What they don't know is Jesus is probably alive in that tomb, folding up his linens, preparing to have the stone rolled away. And I have this envisionment that it's now dark. Jesus has been alive. He's preparing his entrance again. Remember that song by Patty? Doesn't matter. We shall behold him. And these poor Huns, that's what they were. the stone rolls away, and you can imagine the Shekinah glory of the risen Christ as he steps out of that tomb. Hi, guys. And they fled. The next morning, you notice the next morning at sunrise when the women show up, everybody's gone. The guards are gone. They would have still been there. They've already fled for their lives. And everybody's asleep, and then they get in there. Where's Jesus? Where have you taken my master? We'll talk about that a little bit next week. God's timing, and this is what I kind of tend to lean toward, what these scholars believe, that maybe we have the dating a little wrong, and only God could have orchestrated the first day of the week, a day of preparation for the Passover, then a high Sabbath, and then a day of preparation, and then a Sabbath, to ensure that nobody could tamper with that tomb, to prove that his son had died and was resurrected, not stolen. Now, does that mean I'll not celebrate a Maundy, Thursday, or a Good Friday? No. I mean, in that regard, I'm celebrating and remembering the events that led to Jesus' death, his giving of communion, his death upon the cross. Of course, it doesn't matter. To me, the dates don't matter. It's kind of nice to look at it that way and say, boy, this story is even greater than I really understood. There really could have been 3 days and three nights. And how often do you have, and I've talked to people years ago that have mentioned this. I said, how often would you have something like three big events occurring in 1 week? Oh, once every several thousand years? The timing of Jesus' birth, to bring him to that point that day. Had he been born 100 years before, you never would have had that kind of week. 100 years later, 1,000 years later, you're not going to have it. You had it where you can. It really is that hard to get bing, bing, bing like that. And with that kind of a huge festival, that's why everybody was in town. You look at the little thing I put up for today's message. Palm Sunday, he arrives. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then he spends that Passover night and becomes the Lamb of God to shed and give of his body and blood for us on the cross. He is scourged. He is beaten. He is spit upon. One of the most somber songs that came out maybe in the 80s, maybe the 90s. Yeah, I think it was the 80s. The Via Dolorosa, the Way of Sorrows is what it means translated. Jesus condemned to death. He is beaten, spit upon, mocked, crown of thorns, had to carry his own cross. We forget that. And this one poor guy that happened to be there, the Roman soldiers said, hey, help him carry his cross. And so Jesus is being mocked by the same people that only a matter of a few days before were coming, blessed is you that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Oh, no. Kill him. We don't like him anymore. We don't need him. We don't want him. We're looking for something else. How many times do people that claim to be followers of Christ say, I'm looking for something else? This is not what I'm looking for. But Jesus said, if you're following me, take up your... He actually uses the term, his disciples figured it out later, take up your cross and follow me. What do you mean, cross? Jesus said a lot of things they didn't quite understand at the time, but it came to pass later. Yeah, I get what he meant now. Even the Bible says in the reading that we had, they didn't understand what he said at the time, but boy, after he was glorified, after he was resurrected, when he was ascended and the Holy Spirit came, boy, we get it now. hindsight is 20/20. Wow. I remember I was a high school student. I'd been raised in a very Christian home, been involved with choirs, been involved with a Christian education from kindergarten through the eighth grade. Would have been all the way through the 12th and college had we not moved. But there was one night, and God has a way of slowing you down to catch your attention. I was doing something rather stupid. I've never shared this story in a sermon before today. It was probably April, around Easter time or just after, maybe Easter vacation. It was one year we didn't go down to Long Island to see my grandparents. We got back early. And, you know, a bunch of us are just kind of hanging around. And we lived on a little bit of a hill, not much of one. And there's some, trying to remember what it was, like round lumber like you'd use for doing landscaping. And one of the kids got on and he started like to log roll, you know, like a log roller would do. And they're doing pretty good, you know, they're kind of, you know, going down the driveway. And I figure, why not? I'll try it. I don't have very good balance. Never have. I never was good at skating, never even tried. Forget skiing. This is not what I do. And so, yeah, so I get on there and I'm doing fine. I'm rolling it down a little bit and I'm just having a great time. And then it gets too fast and I go flying up, came down, and I broke my arm up here. So they didn't have to put a cast on it because of where the break was. They just tied the arm here for the next, you know, 4 weeks or something. I had to, because it wasn't a, it was a fracture, not a big break. And that would heal. And it would hurt at night. Some nights it was hard, you know, the first couple of weeks. Ever heard of what's called a pillow speaker? If you're old enough to plug into your transistor radio, you put it under your pillow and you lay on it. Nobody can hear it but you. And so I had a little AM FM radio and I had a little plug that I put into sometimes, and I still go to sleep with music. And for whatever reason, the radio station ended up on a different radio station. And I was just too, didn't want to turn or move because it was hurting a lot. And it was a Christian radio station. I'd never heard of a Christian radio station before. And the music was rather, shall we say, stoic. What do you mean by stoic? And there was this tenor voice singing this song, and it just haunted me. Have you had a Gethsemane? Have you learned how to pray? Now, this was not exactly my kind of music, but the words were talking to me. Have you ever? And it dawned on me, yeah, we just had gone through Easter and all this, and I'm thinking, yeah, the garden. You know, we don't really understand the agony. Jesus praying in the garden, Father, if this cup can pass from me, would you take it away? Knowing it won't. Sometimes we pray for things knowing that God's not going to change it, but he can empower us to go through it. I've learned that. There are times that I just want to give up. Believe me. The road to the cross had a rest stop. And it's a rest stop you and I need to sometimes stop and take. The garden. The Garden of Gethsemane. How many times we get caught up in our life and we're trying to figure this out, that out, and we don't stop and pray. We don't give it to God. We're so busy in our own mindset of how we think we need to do something, and we keep struggling along. And the words of that song, have you had a Gethsemane? Have you learned how to pray? And I realized then as a teenager, I'd learned how to recite prayers. I'd learned how to do what a friend of mine years ago, a Baptist preacher, turned something else later in life, once said, yep, the just prayer. Many churches have the just prayer. Ever heard of a just prayer? Lord, we just thank you today. We just need this. We just need that. We just want to do this. We just know how to bounce the words out. But are they coming from the heart? Are they coming from the deepest part of who we are? Or is it just something that we have learned to say? Now I lay me down to sleep. I left my hot rod in the street. If it should roll before I wake, I pray to your Lord, put on the brake. I mean, we get into this kind of a rote with some of our prayers that we don't even think about some of the things we say. Now, you know, then we also have God is good, God is great, so we thank him for this food. And I'm guilty of it at times too, that yeah, we pray and my mind and my heart are not even there, but I'm just doing the words, going through the motions. We need that Gethsemane experience. See, in order for us to understand the crucifixion experience and why, we have to have a Gethsemane experience. For us to walk with Christ to the cross, we must stop at Gethsemane. If Jesus needed to spend an hour in prayer, and remember what he said to his disciples, could not even one of you stay with me for 1 hour? Was I asking too much? 1 hour, you couldn't do it. And Peter, who had given so much and expected much and still gave much, denied him 3 times that night. Three, not one, three. And as Jesus was taken away, the disciples scattered into the shadows. And even as he died, and as they saw darkness in midday, the temple veil rent in two, the earthquake, all of it, they still had fear and they hid. The disciples didn't stop for a Gethsemane experience. They needed it. I really believe that you and I, all of us in this church today, all of those that are listening to what I'm saying today, We need to go to Gethsemane. We'll never appreciate Easter until we have been to Gethsemane. We'll never understand the cross until we have been in that fellowship like Jesus had to be with his own Father, until we get there ourselves. The Bible says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Jesus asked it of his disciples, and he asked of it of us today. How many times have we gone through something and we didn't stop to pray? And instead of finding resolution, it just kept festering and going. How many times have the mistakes that we made in life come to haunt us? How many times has the tempter, or as Martin Luther says, the foe? For the foe, well we know, oft his harvest reapeth while the Christian sleepeth. Rise, my soul, to watch and pray. I think, and like I say, I'm as guilty of it as anybody in this room. Sometimes we don't pray enough. Sometimes we're not in fellowship, and then we wonder why things are not going the way that they should. Whatever you are going through today, whatever is troubling you, whatever is impacting you, whatever is just holding you back, I pray that God will lead you to Gethsemane.
Go to dark Gethsemane, ye that feel the tempter's power, your Redeemer's conflict see. Watch with him one bitter hour, turn not from his griefs away, learn of Jesus Christ to pray. Follow to the judgment hall, view the Lord of life arraigned. Oh, the wormwood and the gall, oh, the pangs his soul sustain. Shun not suffering, shame, or loss. Learn of him to bear the cross. Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there adoring at his feet. Mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice comes. Finished, hear the cry, learn of Jesus Christ to die. Early hasten to the tomb where they laid his breathless clay. All is solitude and gloom. Taken him away. Christ is risen, he meets our eyes. Savior, teach us so to rise.
You've been listening to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in 7 Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We want to thank you for being a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website trinitychapelvirginia.com. That is trinitychapelvirginia.com. And we invite you to join us next week at the same time for another service from Trinity Chapel.